This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So Pasha's told us, I've picked out three very interesting ideas, which I hope you will enjoy. I certainly find them very, very interesting, very inspiring. Let's begin with the beginning of the Pasha. Yitzchak and Rivka, they are davening. They are davening to have children. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem v'meichach ishtei ki akorohi vayeosu Lashem batar Rivka ishtei. Famous pasuk that Yitzchak and Rivka are davening, and the pasuk says vayeosu lo Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillas of Yitzchak. Batar Rivka ishtei, and Rivka becomes pregnant. And that is the theme of this week's parasha. Now, in that opening pasuk, when it says "Vayetar Yitzchok Lashem l'noichach ishtoi," what does the word "l'noichach ishtoi" mean? L'noichach. So Rashi tells us it means opposite. Ze oimid bezoviz zu, veze umispalel, vezu oimid bezoviz zu umispaleles. Each one is davening in their corner. Yitzchok is in one corner of the room. Rivka is in another corner of the room. And therefore, they're opposite each other. That's how Rashi learns, and that's quite a well-known pshat. The Rashbam, however, says, l'noichach means bishvil, on behalf of. Says the Rashbam, l'noichach bishvil. So therefore, pshat in the pasuk is, v'yeta Yitzchok l'ashem l'noichach ishtoi, it means bishvil ishtoi, on behalf of his wife. Now, there's an interesting meshachach. V'yeta Yitzchok l'ashem l'noichach ishtoi, pirush, Bishvil Ishtai, quoting the Rashbam, it means on behalf of his wife, i.e. Yitzchok was davening for Rivka. What's that about? What does that mean? Says the Meshech Chochma, Ki hu hoye botuach sheyelo zera. He wasn't davening for himself because he was certain that he was going to have children. Yes, at that point in time he was childless, but he knew, he was certain he was going to have children. U'kamo she'omah Hashem yizbarach l'Avraham v'karose shmo Yitzchok, so I know, said Yitzchok, that I'm going to have progeny because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has assured Avraham, you're going to have a child, he'll be called Yitzchok, and he will have children, Lazar Acharov. So I know I'm going to have children. But I don't know if these children are going to come through Rivka or through some other woman. Lochein hispalel, k'moshe isa b'medrash, he therefore davened that he wanted his children to come through Rivka and she should be the mother of his children. Therefore, says the Rashbam, that's what it means. He was davening for her, i.e. that he was confident he was going to have children. But he wanted those children to come through Rivka, therefore he was davening. Now, very interesting. I saw the following in the writings of Rabbi Yaakov Bender. Rabbi Yaakov Bender is a well-known Chanuch and Rav in America. And he had he brought out recently a sefer on Chumash. So I think it's the first chance I've had to quote from it. He says something very interesting. We know there are different tactics for effective tefillah. Lots of different tactics. So for example, to be kaver mokum. Kol kaver mokum, the tefillah say, l'kei Avraham be'ezra, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to your help. You fix a place to daven, be it in the shul, be the shul itself, if you're davening at home, to have a fixed place to daven, etc. Another etzah is to give tzedakah beforehand. Another etzah is to make the tefillah very meaningful and very personal. Lots of etzahs. There is a famous etzah brought to the Gemara in Baba Kama. What is that? The Gemara says, Kol ha-mavakeish rachmim al chaveiroi, v'hu tzarech l'eis ha-davah, hu nena tchila. If anybody is davening, anyone he needs something, and he davens for somebody else who's got the same needs, hu nena tchila. Now, it says, apropos of this, there's an interesting letter from Rav Hudna. This is in Pachad Yitzchok, it's a Geres Kuf Mem Zayin. This is what he says. He obviously told, one of his Talmidim was going through a very difficult time. So he asked one of the other Talmidim to look out for him and to help him out. And this Talmud must have written back saying, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm struggling with this. Says Rav Hudna, listen to this. Let's go through it together. Hine shmano, chabibi. Listen to me, my beloved, my dear student. I didn't give you something which is new, which is impossible. Avo bevadai bevadai shechivos kohal mentris. Your basic obligation here. Lachpoitz loda says matzova hamasukon. Are you worried about your friend? Are you anxious about him? Rotzolema shalachicha vim hayedia hazu kruchi betzar ki oz ein lechoshum reshus lafki atzvacham minatzar hazeh. You can't absolve yourself of this responsibility because it might be difficult for you. Listen to this. V'shuv atu kosev b'kavono, and then you said, v'chiyesh b'yodi l'shanes samatzov. You sort of hold your hands up and say, can I change the situation? Gam zehu lav dafka, that's also not necessarily true. V'eilu l'chruch klal klal, maybe you can. Listen to this line. Ha'om nom ein demois b'necha, have you run out of tears? Are you davening for your friend? Thank God we have a tefillah. We believe in the power of tefillah. Don't underestimate the power of a perek of tehillim. When tehillim has said from a broken heart and with much emotion, says Rav Huttner, don't give up on your friend. Daven for him. Maybe you can't practically help him. You can daven for him. Interesting, I'm on a WhatsApp group with lots of mechanchim, mostly in America and Israel. And there was a post a few days ago, someone posted, what are the parameters, the halachic parameters for suspending a student? Not excluding him for suspending a student. And someone posted a famous anecdote of Rav Steinman, that a certain menahal came to Rav Steinman and asked him about expelling a certain student. And Rav Steinman looked at the menahal and said, tell me, what's the name of the student's mother? What's the Shem Kodesh of the student's mother? The Nal was perplexed. And Rav Steinman says, listen, if you don't know the name of the student's mother, that means you're not davening for that student. And if you're not davening for that student, that means you haven't tried everything yet. Tefillah works. And therefore, says Rav Bender, that's pshat in the Meshech Chochma. That's exactly what the Meshech Chochma means. Yitzchok Avinu knew that he's going to have progeny. That was the assurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram. It was through Yitzchak and he's going to have children. But he wanted it to be through Rivka. So he davens l'neichach ishtay b'shvil ishtay on behalf of Rivka. And therefore, that's an application of the Gemara in Baba Kama, called Mevakish Rachmim Achaveirei, anyone who davens for his friend, the tzorech l'esu daven, you need the same thing. Yitzchak was also childless at that point. Hunene tchila. And that's why the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Yitzchak before Rivka because who tzarech la'isa dover, who nena tchila. Amazing. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Yitzchak's tefila, because his heartfelt tefila of passion and of pleading was on behalf of somebody else, and therefore who nena tchila. Okay, let's press on. So then Yaakov and Esau were born, and you have the famous incident when on the day of the passing of Avram Avinu, Yaakov is cooking lentils, and Esau comes back in, and then he sells his bechera. Says the pasuk, "Vayoyme Esau and Yaakov." In the paragraph two towards the bottom of the page, "Vayoyme Esau and Yaakov haliteini nom in ha'odim ha'odim hazeh ki oyef amoichi al kein krosh mo'ed." Fine. So Esau says to Yaakov, "I'm famished." Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Shabbos, when you feed an animal, or feed a camel, and you just literally pour the food down the throat of the animal, you use the lashon of haliteini, halotza, you just pour it down. So just feed me. I'll give it to you, but you've got to sell me your bechera first. Why do I need this bechera? Because I'm not going to survive anyway. Vayom Yaakov yishov ali kayom, you're going to make a shvur. Vayishov aloi and made a shvur. Vayimkar is b'charos ali Yaakov, and he sold his b'chira to Yaakov. Vayav Yaakov nosen le'esov, lechem unazid adoshim. So Yaakov gave to Esav bread. Unazid adoshim means a stew of lentils. Vayoycho vayesht, and he ate and drank. Vayokam vayelech, he got up and went. Vayivez Esav, as a b'chira, and Esav, he sort of spurned, he belittled the b'chira. Fine. The difficulty is two questions. Question number one, if you look at these psukim very carefully, the Pasuk Lamed Dalet says, "Vayakov nosen le'esav lechem unazid adoshim." he gave him bread and lentils. But that's not what Esav asked for. Esav says, "Halitaini no min ha'adim ha'adim azeh." All he wanted was the lentils. Why did Yaakov give him lechem as well? Question number one. Question number two, a bigger question perhaps, does this shvuah work? Does the whole sale work? Wasn't this all done under duress? These are the two questions that Rishu Leib Diskin asked on this parasha. Take a look at the bottom box. Kosher. Halo Esav bikesh rak lehalito nezidadoshim. Esav only asked for stew. So why? So I'm just putting you on mute. Esav only asked for lentils. So why did he give him bread as well? Madua Hesef Yaakov gam lechem. A second question he asks, when Esau said, I'm going to die, the Pasha Pshat is that he was totally exhausted, he was famished, he thought that he was going to die, and came, so how is making a shvur going to help? The rule is, you can't force someone to make a shvur. But given she Esau honest, so the oath that he made was invalid anyway. Says Rav Shulam Diskin, top of the next page. He answers with one answer will answer both questions. That's why Yaakov Avinu gave Esav bread. Before he gave him lentils, that he'd give him some bread, that would sort of put to rest the hunger pangs. And then when he was satiated, he'd eaten the bread, and he was no longer under duress, then he was able to make the shvuah. He made the shvuah, and he says, I'll give you the bukhair if you give me those lentils. And then the transaction took place. Yaakov gave him the lentils, and he gave him the bukhair. Because at that point in time, Esav was of clear mind, and was healthy and was not under duress. So very, very interesting insight from Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. He was the Rav in Yerushalayim. Previously, he was the Rav in Brisk, and then the Rav in Yerushalayim. But a fabulous insight to answer both those questions. Yaakov Avinu gave Esav the bread first, in order to make sure that the oath was a valid oath, that he wasn't doing it under duress, that he was satiated, and was able to then take the lentils and trade in return for the Bechira, and it was not under duress, and it was a valid transaction. Okay, let's move on to the last piece, which is an amazing piece that I came across in the writings of the MS Liakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We know that it's a question, I must be honest with you, I've had for many years. And Baruch Hashem, I came across this piece, and it answers a question which I've had for many years. Let's start from the beginning. The Gemara in Makkah says, "Lo rogal al lashonei ze Yaakov Avinu." The pasuk says, quoting it's a Gemara in Makkah, Chafdalad Amud Aleph, that no slander will come on his tongue. That's a reference to Yaakov Avinu. Tichsev ulay Moshe'ni Abi va'yis ve'enoch k'misateya. When Rivka tells him to go into Yitzchak and to get the brachas, that she should he should dress up as Esau, and Yaakov is worried. Ulay Yimusheni Avi, maybe my father, maybe Yitzchak will fill me. He'll see my soft skin and he'll realize that it's me. We've spoken in the past this famous verse of the Vilna Gaon. The Gaon says, "What's the difference between pen and ulay? What's the difference?" So the Gaon says that pen means I don't want it to happen, and ulai means I do want it to happen. Ulai is a lashon of halavai. That's the case, it doesn't quite fit in. Ulai yimusheni avi, that halavai, my father should fill me, and then he'll see that I'm not Esau, but then the whole plot will be foiled. So why ulai? Teretz is that Yaakov was ish emes, and that was his deep desire. He didn't want to go through this. He knew he had to, which we'll see in a second. But his deep desire was, halavai, my father should touch my skin and should follow the plot, and I don't have to go through with this and have to lie to him. Says the Rivon, the Pirush from the Gemara Makkos over there, lo rogal al hashonei, lo yirotzei l'shakim etchila. He didn't want to lie. Like in the way I just explained it, halavai, my father should feel me and see that it's not me. So why did he do it? And his mother Rivka forced him to do it. In other words, Rivka had a nevuah. It was a Ruach HaKodesh telling Rivka, you've got to tell Yaakov to go in to get these brachas. The future destiny of Klal Yisrael depends on it. So Yaakov was unwilling and he was resistant, but he knew it was the right thing to do. He knew that Rivka had received this nevuah and therefore he had to go in. Now, we know that HaKodesh Baruch Hu tests everyone in a way, in the most effective way. Avraham and Yaakov's challenge were against their natural midos. Titin emes Yaakov chesed l'Avraham. We know that Avraham Avinu was the Isha chesed. We know that Yaakov, his middle was Tiferes, which was emes. And therefore, the challenges they had were against those natural tendencies. The question is, what about Yitzchak? Let's take a look. Let's read the MS Yaakov inside. I've trimmed it a little bit so it's more manageable. But let's go through it inside because it's really very beautiful. It says the MS Yaakov, of Yaakov Kamenetsky, who, by the way, was the Ish MS of our times, of the 20th century. Rabbi Yaakov is well known for his middah of MS. His sefer is called MS Yaakov. There's lots of stories about Rabbi Yaakov and his adherence to MS and to honesty. One time, Rabbi Yaakov, before he became the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, he was a Rav, I think it was in Toronto, somewhere in Canada. And his kehillah brought him a becher on one particular occasion. And the next day, they see the president of the shul sees Rabbi Yaakov going into a jewelry store which values fine silver. So the president was so upset. What's going on? Well, he wants to know how much we paid for it. So he asked Rabbi Yaakov, why are you getting it valued? So Rabbi Yaakov said, he says, look, I'm very grateful for the gift. It's a very beautiful gift. It's just that when I disclose my, do my tax returns, I've got to disclose my income and any gifts I've got. And I have to disclose this and I've got to state its value. So I need to know how much it's worth. Something which is not even on the thoughts of most people. Rabbi Yaakov was a tremendous Ish MS when he was offered the position of Torah Vadas from Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz. Rav Shraga Feivel said to him, you know, this position, you know, being Rosh Yeshiva, one of the great American yeshivas, perhaps you should really start putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. We know that the tefillin that we all put on is Rashi's tefillin. That means the Seder of the Parshas go according to the Shitta of Rashi. But there are those who, Lubavitcher Chassidim from Bar Mitzvah, they put on, after they put on Rashi, during Chazoras Hashas, they put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And some other Hasidim and Anshe Maaseh, people of Tzadikim, people of stature, they perhaps put it on at some later point in life. So Rabbi Yaakov sort of dismissed Rav Shraga Feivel's entreaties, and he just joked and he said, you know, he said, with the Chofetz Chaim, he was 90 years old. When he was 90, he started putting it on. When I'm 90, I'll start putting it on. And Taka, many decades later, his children noticed Rabbi Yaakov was starting to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. They asked him why. So he said, because I promised Rav Shraga Feivel, 40, 50, whatever it was, 30, 40 years earlier, he had mentioned to Derech Agav, jokingly almost, to Rav Shraga Feivel, yeah, when I'm 90, I'll do it. But he didn't want a falsehood to come out of his lips. So at 90 years old, he started putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Amazing. So this is what he says. Says the Emes Liakov, Uchashina Ayin Nira. When we investigate, we look into this, we will see. Shahanisyainas Shepohem Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. The test that Avraham Avinu encountered, they were contrary, they were counter to his natural tendencies. Avraham's role in life was chesed, was to be, if you like, the PR of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to spread the mitzvah of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to test Avraham, to see if he really is Yirei Shamayim, I've got to test him really in that middle of Chesed. Ludugma. For example, etc. Hari Hutzruch Lazav Esbeis Ovev Hazokin. That test of Lech Lecha wrapped in that test was a test against his chesed. He's going to have to abandon his aged father. Dovah shebevada hichivlo, something which was very painful for Avraham Avinu. Furthermore, la'achakach, who nitztav legarish mebe, says Hogor v'Yishmael. Next nisoyim. He had to dismiss from his house Hogor and Yishmael, but oifen hanira k'moid achzori, which at a superficial level looks very cruel. V'zebevada lohoy na'im la'avraham la'sois. This wasn't pleasant for Avraham to do. V'ho'ila kulano, and the most extreme, nisoyim ha'akeidah. Over and above all the others was the Akedah. Sheboi hutzrach lahakriv es benoi yechidei kekarbon, to offer up his only son as a carbon. Dovah shayim neged kol metziosov neged kol mahashkafaisov, which was contrary to all of his values. Bahari zeh madrega hanele b'yoysim nisoyin odom. That's incredibly hard nisoyin. Kolei melasos pula, i.e. to do something. Hanoygedes melakotze lakotze, which is antithetical as tibius adam to his natural nature, muhusa into his very essence, ach v'rak k'dei lemalas rusona shesbaruch, just to fulfill the rotz nashem. That's Avraham Avinu. V'chein hu hadova gam etzel Yaakov, and so to with Yaakov Avinu. His nisayon was again contrary to his very essence. Kol tivoy mitziyoso yisolde me'asheker. The whole nature, the whole essence of Yaakov Avinu was to repel, to reject sheker, falsehood. Haziyuf. It was repulsive to him. Any lying, any deceit was totally repulsive, like Avodah Zarah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test whether he's Yirei Shamayim, I'm going to test him particularly in this area. You've got to demonstrate, to go against your natural inclination to adhere to the truth. And you're only doing it because you're instructed to do it. And then it'll be absolutely clear that you're doing this l'shem shamayim, etc., etc. And that's really, as he says, the brachas for Esav was his maisa akedah. The akedah for Avraham, that was his big nisoyin, and getting the brachas from Esav was the maisa akedah for Yaakov Avinu. Kol echod mi'ovos ha'tzorech lavar maisa akedah. Each of the ovos had to have their own maisa akedah to overcome. Nisoyin neged muhusa b'tiva, a nisoyin which was against their very essence and nature. K'dei lizkos b'schar ha'nitzchi shel avi ha'om ha'nifcha, to become one of the great ovos. So the question, therefore, is that's all well and good for Avraham. That's all well and good for Yaakov Avinu, but what about Yitzchok? What was the nisoyim for Yitzchok? Last paragraph of that main box. What was the nisoyim which goes against the nature of Yitzchok? Because the akeda wasn't against his natural tendencies, but other rabba, Hari Yitzchok mesamelis midas hadin vagura. The very middah of Yitzchok was din, was gvura, was strict judgment. Pachad Yitzchok, the limser es nafshal kiddush Hashem, uchelik me'avodosoi. That was in a way easier for Yitzchok. Hashagura v'hargila. It was run of the mill for him. V'im kein heichan hisnase Yitzchok b'ofen she hisnase b'avram v'yakov. Where was Yitzchok challenged in a way? Where was he tested in a way similar to Avram and Yaakov? That's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetz's question. And I've had this question for a long time. And then I was delighted to see his answer. He gives a brilliant answer. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos paid tests on the base. Let's do the Gemara inside. La'asid lobe, it's a penultimate box. When Moshiach comes, Yoimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham, Bonecha Chotuli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to Avraham, your children have sinned against me. They've sinned against you. Those who have sinned against you, wipe them out. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says to Yaakov, he had Tzar Gidol Bonim, the difficulties with the Shvatim, etc. Yosef and the Shvatim. Maybe he'll have more Rachmanis than Avraham displayed just now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to Yaakov Avinu, Bonecha Chotu. Omelafonov and Yaakov Avinu will respond, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yimocha HaKadosh Shmecha, again, let them be erased, let them be wiped out. So Omas HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Loi besabi tana v'lo bedad ki etza. There's no reasoning in the elders in Avraham, and neither is there counsel in the Darat ki the youth in Yaakov. All of that continues the Gemara. Omelo Yitzchak. So Yitzchak comes along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, Bonecha chotuli. Omelo Fonov. Yitzchak now responds to Avraham to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ribbono Nishleino, Bonai v'lo bonecha. What do you mean, your children? Are they not your children as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're your children as well. And furthermore, kamachotu, how much have they sinned already? How long is a man's life? On average, 70 years. Dal esrin delo yinashta alayu. Take away 20 of those 70 years. The first 20 years, a person is not culpable in the heavenly courts for certain things. So take away 20 years. How much are you left with? Pashulu chamshin. You're left with 50 years. Dal esrin v'chamisha delelusa. Take away half of those, 25, which is nighttime. There is less opportunity for sin. A person's sleeping, a person's resting. How much have you got left? Poshulu esrin v'chamisha. You've got 25 years left. Dal kartis reopalga. Divide that in half. Take away 12 and a half years. Why? Tetzluye yomechel v'sakise. A person's davening, a person's eating, he's going to the bathroom. He hasn't got time to sin then. So how much are you left with? Pashaluhu tarti sreya palgi. You're left with 12 and a half years. And then the Gemara continues. And now those 12 and a half years, as the Mashal explains, they're bottle bereiv, they're a small minority of a man's life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can surely waive those years. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what emerges is that Yitzchok, la'osid lovo, is going to become the great defender of Klal Yisrael. Concludes Rabbi Yaakov, the final few lines, the bottom paragraph. Ula yesh la'atziah. The big nisayin, Yakeid, the moment of Avraham has been. That was Akeidas Yitzchok. For Yaakov Avinu, it was this week's parasha, the whole difficulty getting the brachas from Esau. It went against his whole nature of emes. But for Yitzchok, it hasn't yet happened. Avolhi ti el osid lova. It's going to be el osid lova when Moshiach comes. Venire. Shekan hoye nisayin god Yitzchok. This will be the challenge of Yitzchok. He is going against his midah of midas hadin. He is the only one advocating on behalf of the Jewish people. And he takes upon himself all the chatoim of Yisrael. He comes to try and find a defender for the Jewish people. And this is something which is counter to the very nature of Yitzchok. It's Midas Adin, Midas Agura. He would just say, Yimoch Mal Kedush Mecha. But he doesn't. He defends Klal Yisrael. So therefore Yitzchok will stand up to this Nisoyen. And therefore he will come to the defense of Klal Yisrael. So an amazing insight of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This question, like I say, has bothered me for a long time. We see that the Nisoyon of Avraham Avinu goes against his very essence. So too with Yaakov Avinu. Where is it with Yitzchak? The answer is it hasn't yet come. It will come la'osid lovoi in this dialogue that Yitzchak Avinu will become the great defender of the Jewish people and will display midas of rachamim, which is contrary to his natural tendencies of din and of pachad and of gvura. So there we have it. Three ideas in tonight's parasha shir. Number one, that very beautiful idea of Yaakov Bender, l'noichach ishtei, on behalf of his wife. Says the Meshech Chochma, the Pshat is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Yitzchok's tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka listened to Yitzchok, because he davened with passion and with pleading, b'shvil ishtei, l'noichach ishtei, on behalf of his wife. And therefore, it's a pure application of the Gemara Bava Kama, kol mevakash rachum v'chaveiroi, then we had the idea of a Bishuleg Diskin, the interesting questions. Esav asked for lentils, and he was given bread and lentils. Second of all, surely the Shvuah was under duress, the whole thing was invalid. The Teretz is, says Bishuleg Diskin, that's why Yaakov gave him bread. He first of all satiated his hunger with bread until he was relaxed, calm, of clear mind, and then they transacted the lentils for the Bechira, which was not therefore done under duress. And last of all, this magnificent piece of the MS de Yaakov, explaining that Yitzchak Avinu, his Nisoyim was also his Akedas Yitzchak moment, if you like, his big Nisoyim, has not happened yet, but please God, will happen soon, where he will become the great defender of Klal Yisrael, will display Rachamim, which is contrary to his natural tendencies of Pachad, of Yitzchak, of Gvura, and of Din. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week in this session.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.